This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Raleigh poet Gibbons Ruark has spent decades writing poetry about life in his native North Carolina. But along the way, Gibbons found another home across the Atlantic. Over the past 35 years, he's traveled to the lush landscape of Ireland. He was inspired by the country's literary greats. Now he has collected all of his poetry about his beloved Ireland in one book. It's called The Road to Ballyvaughan, and it features his travels across the country as he absorbs the native culture and befriends local characters. Gibbons Ruark has a reading in Kerry on December 9th, but first he joins me in the studio. Welcome back, Gibbons. Good to see you.
Thank you, Frank. It's a pleasure to be here.
You love Ireland. How did you get connected? How did you decide that this was going to be a place for you?
Well, my first acquaintance with a real Irish writer was when the fiction writer and broadcaster Benedict Kiley spent a semester at the University of Delaware in 1976, and nothing has been the same since then.
You guys shared a phone number, right?
We did. We had offices next to each other, and he was the first person to recognize my name as Irish instantly, which a lot of people don't. So,
In the business of social connection, the idea of connecting you then with other people in Ireland was important to you, right?
Yes. Well, Ben knew everybody, and he was happy to introduce people to each other. And in fact, many times in his life, there would be a group of people, many of whom hated each other, in the same room. And Ben Kiley would come into the room, and all of a sudden, everything was amicable, and people who hadn't been speaking to each other for years were suddenly speaking to each other because of his beneficent influence, I think.
So tell us about those first trips to Ireland. What were you looking for? What were you hoping would happen?
Well, I just was curious. I had been reading poetry by Irish poets in English. I don't have any Irish, so the Irish poetry I know is it's not Anglo-Irish politically, but it's poetry in English rather than in Irish. And so I had some places that I wanted to go and landscapes that I wanted to see, and also people that I had some contact with. I wanted to see them on their native ground there, and Ben in particular was very hospitable to me.
Well, you make a great deal of that, sort of the people you meet, the characters who make up Ireland, as well as the landscape. And that, it seems to me, is very much a theme, one of the elements in the poetry collected in this new book.
Yeats said at one point, "Friendship is all my house." And I have felt along those same lines for a long time. And it's true that landscape comes into it, history comes into it, music comes into it, but it wouldn't be much without the without the people in it and what they represent to me, I think.
Could I ask you to read one of the poems from your latest collection?
Sure.
Is that maybe the title poem, "The Road to Ballyvaughan"? And do I have that right? Is it Ballyvaughan or Ballyvaughan?
I say Ballyvaughan. The locals tend to say Ballyvaughan, but most everybody else pronounces it Ballyvaughan.
Right.
It's a little village on the coast of North County Clare, and this poem is about going there initially by way of ferry and then by car to celebrate my wife's 50th birthday. So it's a birthday poem in a way. "The Road to Ballyvaughan. The ferry shudders and scrapes against the stone quay, and we are moving, churning cross current on the river nearly estuary, the gulls a billowy chaff of white above the white-capped backwash, lovers young and old with their hair all windblown at the rails, histories little and long entwining their hands. The ferry docks. We leave the river for the hills, high miles of stony outcrop till the road descends. Wildflowers we came for can wait until tomorrow. This evening, let's idle on the meadow grass, framed on one side by limestone, by sea on the other side. When the wine is gone, before we stir ourselves to go, let me raise between us a single, fluted, long-stemmed wine glass, empty of all but sunlight poured out on the tide.
Gibbons Ruark reading the poem The Road to Ballyvaughan from his latest collection of the same name. It's a beautiful poem, and this is the point in the program where you must endure what I felt when I heard it, because it's exquisite in the way it creates very powerful, palpable, concrete images. In the same time, there's this theme of flux running all through it, things that move, currents, sunlight, things that move against a limestone wall. There's the sea on the other side. So is that in any part sort of how you feel about, is that in any part what's in this poem or what you put into it? Certainly it's what I drew from it. I have that right. But I wonder if that's any part of what you brought.
Well, I think it certainly is. And what poems often do, I think, is to hold flux in a kind of stasis temporarily by their shape and form. So this is a floating poem. It's a poem in which water is running and things are happening and people are moving, and at the same time it's contained in 14 roughly iambic pentameter lines, mm-hmm. which actually have the rhyme scheme of a sonnet.
A lot of craft. Yeah, a form.
There's that. It is.
Yeah, a form.
There are a number of poems that fall into that formal category in this. There are probably more sonnets in this particular book than in any book I've ever published.
So a sonnet about flux is indeed a wine glass empty of all but sunlight.
Yeah, you might say that. You know, it, the idea is giving up something and holding on to it at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, you let it. There's a letting go,
right.
And yet something is kept. And what Frost used to say was, strongly spent is synonymous with kept. And so my feeling is that my effort in poems often is to spend something strongly enough so that something is held back.
Something is held back. Something can be retained.
Kept. Yeah.
What about the language? You know, you talked about not reading Irish and sort of having this in English, but so many of our great writers are Irish writers, and many of them wrote in English, right? If you think about Yeats and certainly Joyce. This notion that in some ways the Irish are not writing in their, that these great writers weren't writing in their native language. I mean, obviously it was, but it was a language that was imposed on them, you know, a couple of hundred years earlier. Is there anything to that, sort of taking another language and making it your own? Or by the time they came along, look, wit's English, leave me alone.
Well, I think Stephen Dedalus is told in Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man that all this is a cod's game, all this issue of the language, and just dismissed it, you know. A lot of people wouldn't take that point of view. A lot of people, there's people who still insist on writing in Irish, and that you aren't writing poetry as an Irish person unless you are using that language. But obviously the majority of them don't speak the language, don't know it, and write in the language of the conqueror, effect.
Well, and in many cases beautifully and almost with subversive effect, if you think that through, too.
Well, yeah, I think so, too. there are lots of times they're throwing the English back at the English in a way.
Well, getting back to our previous conversation, the way Cervantes used High Castilian to sort of poke fun at a form, a literary form, that appealed only to the aristocracy and used their very language and in that same way, threw it back in their face.
Yeah, I think there's a connection there.
Well, can I get you to read another poem for us?
Sure, yeah. What would you like?
How about written in the guest book at Tourbali?
Tourbali-Lee. It's just tower. T-H-O-O-R is one of the Irish ways of spelling tower. Mm-hmm. That if you spend enough time in Ireland, you know that the Irish are frequently very free with the way they because so many of the words that they use come over from the Irish, and so there's a sort of liberty there. But this was Yeats's name for this place. It was at a place called Ballylee in County Galway. It was the Norman Tower where he spent, about 10 years maybe altogether, and mostly in the summers. He didn't really live there a long time, but it became a powerful symbol in his book, and he actually called one of his books The Tower. But this is visiting in the tower as a foreigner, as an American traveler, the day after a rather rousing night of music in Galway City up the road. This is called Written in the Guest Book at Tourbali-Lee. This room needs furniture, and the blue walls are cold. Whether we should have been welcomed by the old ghost we admire seems hardly civil to ask in County Galway, where doors swing open to the rankest stranger and they say whatever warms you when you are cold. Still, this room needs furniture, and the walls are cold and colder in the resolute Atlantic wind. This room needs music. I call old Tommy Nolan down from the streets of Galway with his great fiddle and his frightening cough to haul his chair up close to the measly fire we would be grateful for and lean into music. I call on Tony Small, laughing at the counter there in Cullen's marvelous raw voice sweet with whiskey, to put down his glass and sing. This room needs music, and nobody here can sing. Wind bangs the shutter, long absences drum at the door. Some voices we would gather, the wind has scattered all over this and other islands, some few as far as the man who found and imagined this place, and then abandoned his soul to its battlements to die in a French room without benefit of Galway. We saw where they ploughed him into that rainy churchyard. He might have called his own bedroom the stranger's room. Instead, he chose this room where we stand wondering how cold a man would call a room for guests the stranger's room, or how honest. Speech is exhaled into the cold, whatever we say, though rhetoric may turn to rain and leave a lover's indiscretion in the air. If you want to believe our life is possible, come look out the window where the wind blows a brief shower of leaves on the stream, swift with earlier rainfall, and try to imagine that they love their vanishing merely to leave the surface untroubled and clear. Then listen for breath in this room without music. While you can hear it, the stream makes a personal sound.
Gibbons Ruark from his latest collection of poetry, The Road to Ballyvaughan, that poem called Written in the Guest Room at Tourbali-Lee, and apparently a place where Yeats hung out a lot. Do you find yourself in that situation sort of channeling Yeats? And sort of...
Oh, I don't think so. No. I think that one would resist the effort. Yeats is too imposing dominating a figure to be channeled, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. I would say the poem is more sidestepping around Yeats, if I could put it that way.
What about this collection? These poems have been written over time. What got you to thinking about pulling all these the Irish poems together?
Well, it just came to me one day that I had a fairly large number. There are three or four that I left out that would fit into this category just because I thought they weren't up to the rest of them or didn't fit in somehow. But there are actually 42 poems here in about a 70-page book, which is about normal for a single volume of poems. And a new and selected volume would be longer than that probably, and certainly a collected would. But they just seemed to invite this gathering together under one cover.
You didn't write them all together, and I wonder what happens to you when you sort of pull them together and look at them as a collection. Does it change the context or the meaning of it?
Well, I hope it does. I think one point in publishing them again is that the books that they were in are largely out of print or otherwise fugitive and hard to get hold of. But the other reason is to make a new book. And Frost used to say that if there were 24 poems in a book, the book itself should be the 25th poem. And my idea is that these poems coagulate in a way to make a new book, even though they are mostly old poems.
Well, the book of old poems collected anew is The Road to Ballyvaughan, a beautiful book of poetry, and always a pleasure to have you, Gibbons Ruark, on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Frank. My pleasure.
You can catch Gibbons at a reading in Cary at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, December 9th. We have details at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, Charlie Shelton, and Andrew Tai. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.